Boy, I wonder when that damn DC network is going to start. I'm so sick of seeing that shit. Every time you look at your phone, there it is. I'm so sick of seeing Robin. Them damn actors, naked man with green skin. Shit. Just get it on, right? Man, that's what we got to look forward to, man. You know, bunch of weirdo ass superheroes.
It's Vans on Patrol time.
What?
It's Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
All right, man, it's October time. It's October. That means Oktoberfest. That means beer. That means all kind of great stuff. That means candy and Halloweeny. And it's all month long, scary, and dare I say, spooky and ookie bookie. Movies on Fans of Patrol. I just said it. It's Fans of Patrol time. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is a sensitive co-host herself, Miss Tifflebot. How are you, Tifflebot?
I am good. How are you?
Man, I'm great, man, because I'm about to gain a bunch of weight and drink some beer and, you know, clown around. We got scary stuff going on, and this is, I don't know, for some reason, this is a great time. This podcast is paradise this time of year, man. That's how I feel about it. It's beautiful stuff. So, let me tell you what we got this week. We don't got Smooth. I'm looking for you, Smooth. Your ass is mine when I see you. Anyway, let's see. We're doing a movie. It's a scary movie, I think. It's called Slice, 2018. Tifflebot chose this one. And and we got the news this week, man. We got some Star Wars news, some live-action Star Wars news. We're going to be talking about little Aquaman. Peter Jackson has a new project. We're going to look at that. And breaking, this just in. We just got a first look at the trailer from Amazon Prime Video, The Boys. We talked about that a few months ago on the show, and both of my co-hosts were excited for the project. So we're going to talk about that trailer on this week's show. We also have what you're watching this week, because guess what? Television is in full swing, and we all got stuff to talk about. So we're going to do that, and then we're going to talk a little Dr. Octopus. He got his own book, and can't wait to talk about this one. I can't wait to hear Tifflebot complain about it. Let me see. And then once again, Slice Stars, Chance the Rapper, and Zazzy Beats, and a whole bunch of other people in it I had no idea was in this movie. But we're going to check it out, y'all. This is supposed to be a scary movie, but we'll get into that later. And so with all of that, are we ready to roll?
Absolutely.
Let's roll out. All right, man, so just when you think there's no Star Wars going on, we got Star Wars going on, man.
There's never not Star Wars going on.
That's true, but, you know, Star Wars, like, they act like they're shutting everything down. You know, we're shutting down the movies. We're going to slow stuff down. You know, Last Jedi, we don't know what we're going to do. Although, I'm extremely excited for the next movie being done by J.J. I hear rumor of things being fixed, you know. Right. And so good, you know. I don't know why he just didn't do all three of them to begin with. Anyway. So there's Star Wars news. You know, I thought they were going to shut down these live action shows. So they got the cartoon that's looking really cartoony and kiddie. And I'm pretty disappointed with that, because I think they should have just kept the same vein out of, you know, what they've been doing, because it's adult enough to get me involved. But they're going back to the Clone Wars. So they're doing that. Hopefully it'll be after the Clone Wars, not, you know, more the same. So anyway, that's not the story. The story is they dropped the picture. One pic, right?
One picture.
And the internet went wild. And they dropped the name. So if you haven't heard, Jon Favreau, you know, Iron Man 1. I think, did he do 2? He might have did 2.
Good question. I don't know.
I think he did 2. And he also did The Jungle Book.
Okay.
Great director. And so he's the force behind the force in this new The Mandalorian is the name. So it's all about not Boba Fett, but a Boba Fettish character. And they have this one pick. It looks like a Tatooine type of place, you know. It's in real sunlight, so that's always a good thing. I love real sets. I hate fake sets, Tiff. I don't know how you feel about it. I really hate fake sets.
If I can't tell, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I like it when it's just like, if you know it's outside, if it's outside, you know. Anyway, so the dude looks cool, man. You know, I like the picture, you know. And then
it's just a picture, but I mean, yeah, it looks great.
Right. And then they're supposed to have like additional directors. They've been announcing Deborah Chow. She did some Jessica Jones. Rick Famuyiwa from Dope, and he was supposed to do one of the DC films. Remember that? And then he was supposed to do The Flash. Bryce Dallas Howard. Yeah. Bryce Dallas Howard. She's directing.
I didn't realize
now
that she was a director.
Well, her daddy's one of the biggest ones. So
I know.
You know.
That's why I was wondering if maybe that's, you know, when kids of like famous music artists have an album, or people who have a famous author for a parent write a book. I always am like, are you talented, or is this just...
No, Tiff, I'm not saying she's not talented, but it's just access. Because if you really look in the background of a lot of people in Hollywood, even now, you think, oh man, I literally like them. And then you find out it's so-and-so's nephew and so-and-so's niece. And, you know, they have the access. So would anybody give Bryce Dallas Howard an acting job right coming off the blue, some girl from Kansas somewhere? Probably not. You know? That's,
right.
But her father was talented, you know, and he was in Hollywood when that wasn't happening. When he became a director, it was kind of like, whoa. You know, because actors weren't just turning into directors back when he did it, you know, but when he did it, it was like, wow.
He knew that he was going to turn into an unfortunate-looking adult.
Opie knew it wasn't, he didn't have much time. I must do something. I must figure out something. I'm losing my hair. No.
Oh, my God.
And so he made the move. So
that's right.
What's his name?
Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi. Yeah, that's from Thor. That's Thor's 3 director.
Yeah, which I like. So, good.
Heavy effing hitters, Tiff.
Yeah, this is like a big... Again, I want to establish for anyone listening for the first time, I'm not as familiar with this. It's Disney. It doesn't matter. They could dump money into a shredder and they would be fine.
And we have a hit.
Yeah, exactly. It comes out the other end. So, $100 million... It said, so $10 million an episode. It's a 10-episode series.
And it's just money, Teflobot.
That's crazy.
Somebody go get Smith. We need more money.
Yeah, Smith! Bring some more money.
We need some money, damn you. Hurry up. Yeah,
I need something to pop my back up.
I need toilet paper to help. Give me the 20s. Smith, come wipe.
Exactly. That's exactly true. Also, okay, if you look at this article, it's at one photo, and then I was like, but why does it say begin slideshow? So like, oh, maybe there's more photos.
Yeah.
There is not. It's a slideshow of the same photo over and over again. It really pissed me off.
I bet you it did. I could see you like, son of a bitch. Well, but I made that mistake too. I was like, oh, maybe they got him holding a pistol or something. Maybe they got him doing something like that. But the dude looks cool. I like the browns and stuff like that. And I like how he's, it's, Star Wars was always famous for the used future. But I really would like to know what this is going to be about, man. Please don't be Boba Fett, just a knockoff of Boba Fett. Let it be his own person, you know. And who is this actor, you know?
We don't know.
Who's playing
for as much as it can be seen in this photo? For as much as what you get in this photo,
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, the picture's good, but the announcement with the directors really got me excited. I mean, all these directors are, well, with the exception of Bryce Dallas Howard, who is a decent actor, you know. Deborah Chow. I like to go back and see which episode she directed, because I'm not sure. But shoot, all the rest of those directors are, you know, class acts, man. Goodness gracious. Anyway, so I don't know when this comes out to you.
2019.
But no
hardcore day.
Right. And they're probably, it's a streaming service thing, so they'll probably just put them all out at the same time, you know. Woof, you know, here's all your
right, exactly, 13 episodes. Same day.
Yeah. So.
But who knows, because Hulu does a thing where they like release.
They do episodes, right?
Their shows like
weekly,
like for 6 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever.
Yeah, they did that show with the guy who was on top of the world, and now he's and you don't hear about him no more. The guy that was in Spider-Man played Harry. Yeah, James Franco. He got, you know, he had a show that it was pretty popular, but I know they released it weekly for like 6 to 8 weeks, and people were complaining about that because they just wanted it now, you know. But you know, whatever. Yeah, people coming back. Oh, you know, Star Trek does that too. You know, it comes out.
Yeah, I think it's a way to get, because I think potentially, I don't know. One of the things I've always been complained about streaming services is that, like ABC, for instance, will say, how can you measure us against Netflix and Hulu? Because they have a different, it's different. It's straight, you know what I mean? Like they did. People tune in different times, so like, is it really fair to say that like?
No, it's not the same.
Right,
it's not the same.
So they were, but okay. What I'm saying is, they get awards based on viewership.
Yeah,
so people will be like, "Well, it's not fair to say that like this show on their Netflix had so many viewers when maybe people are watching our shows later on like TiVo or whatever." Fine. So I don't know if this is maybe a sort of abatement of that to say like, okay, well we can kind of measure. That we had 30 million viewers for the second episode of whatever when we released it on that day.
You know, in my opinion, and I don't care that we're off topic, but in my opinion, they need to change, television needs to change their formula, because you do have the Netflix, they drop 13 episodes in one day and people call off work and they spend, they spend a whole entire day and a half, you know, of binging an episode, and they have seen all 13 episodes and they can comment on it and they can recommend it and it can go up for awards. But then when you have, say, something like Star Trek coming on Sunday at 10 o'clock and you have to go to it to watch it. Now, if you wait a week, you can watch it at any time you want to. You know what I'm saying? But it may be prudent if you're going to do the weekly episode thing to allow a person to see it whenever they want to. You just got to wait a week. You know what I'm saying? Because like,
right.
You watch a network television and it comes on at 8 o'clock. If you don't TiVo it or Hulu it or what, I mean, whatever you get, you know, record it, you know, it comes on that time and that time only. And you miss your window and then you got to catch it on a rerun. And that's a rarity because everybody has everything, you know, streaming services and stuff like that. But perhaps it should just get to the point where even network TV where you can just watch it as much as you want to, you know, after it's released. The formula needs to change, fellas, if you're going to keep up, you know, that's what I say. But I guess it's still a lot of people watching regular TV, you know, so.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I think a lot of the older folks.
Baby boomers, y'all.
We're at home. Yeah. We're at home. We know what time Jeopardy is on.
You don't pull out Jeopardy. We're going to watch Bonanza and Gunsmoke.
Right. So I fall asleep between, you know, 7 and 9, but the TV's still on. I fall asleep with the TV on.
Well, my mom is a baby boomer. She watches a lot of TV, but she watches regular TV. She doesn't watch any streaming services, and she is always saying, you know, I'm going to get that Netflix, you know.
My mom loves to come to my house. She doesn't have it either. My mom loves to come to my house and watch Netflix.
And let you run it, right?
Yeah, she's like, I don't know how this works. Turn on Friends. She wants to watch Friends again. Turn on Friends.
Well, there you go. So back to Mandalorian. Can't wait to see what y'all going to do with this. And
yeah, I mean, you can't hurt it probably. Disney probably can't really hurt it that bad.
No, probably can't. I mean, even though, and you know something? Screw everybody, man. I watched Solo again last week. That's a fine damn movie. I don't care what, give a damn what. I was like watching this thing like, what else would do? What you want in a Star Wars movie with all this shit going on? Yeah, man, I had such a ball. I actually had more fun watching it the second time. I was like, God, this is F everybody. F y'all. F all y'all up in there.
Ruining Montego's dreams.
Oh, shit. I think it's an excellent film, man. And as a Star Wars film, what else the hell would you want when they went to the little spice mines and they did the little bank heist and, you know, they did a little race? I'm like, what the hell else do what you want? You Star Wars motherfucker. Y'all on my they on my nerves, man, because these new Star Wars fans, they ain't my fans, man. You know, Star Wars always a conclusive group. Now they're the worst fans on the planet, you know, chasing people off the internet and all kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's
assholes. Anyway, let's move on before I really pop a vein. Okay, so
you want to talk about Aquaman?
Okay, so New York Comic Con is this weekend, correct? And
correct.
I remember the last time we talked about Iron Man, I don't think you wouldn't let me talk. You kept saying, looks like shit, looks like shit, looks like shit, looks like shit. So they might have been hearing you, Tifflebot. So then they decided to release a whole 5-minute trailer. And I said, damn, 5 minutes. This is spoilerific. Are they in trouble? Do they feel a need to, you know, that they have to show more and more and more? Do they feel like this is going to get the people excited? Inquiring minds want to know, Tifflebot, what do you think of this thing?
This trailer, man, okay. It's not that the trailer is bad particularly. Mm-hmm. This trailer is probably a little bit better than the other trailers, mm-hmm. as far as like not being super like cringy, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. However, what we're seeing here is not trailer material. It's like extended scenes. We're seeing entire scenes of the movie.
Yeah, like the desert scene and the building rooftop scene. I was like, man, I'll be sleeping the movie when this shit come on, right? I mean,
yeah. The thing is like, not only is it taking away the element of surprise that you might have for those scenes in the movie, but it's also concerning in another way, because I think, okay, why are you showing me this particular scene? Which, by the way, when they go through the desert, that is not a scene that you put in a trailer.
No.
There's nothing in that scene that makes people go like, oh, what's happening here?
It's way too much. It's almost like you watched an episode of a show.
Well, what makes me concerned is that because that's not a trailer scene, because it's not nothing particularly like action oriented is happening, I'm concerned that the scenes of the movie that are the between scenes, the scenes that get us to the action, are the only scenes that aren't laughable.
Uh-oh. Well, I hope you're wrong about that, Tiff. I mean, you know.
I do too.
I do want this to do well. It looks CG heavy duty, boy. Goodness gracious.
And in my opinion, it's not bad CG as far as, like, you can tell that it cost a lot of money. But it's bad CG in the way that, like, I'm like, it doesn't look good, in my opinion.
I can't say, do I hate this or does this? I'll tell you one thing I don't like. I don't like this woman's hair. That red hair looks
like. Why is her hair that color? Because that's not a natural color of red.
In a comic book, it's that color, but right. It should have just been a regular natural red hair. I don't know. The sharks look kind of crazy, too. The sharks and the seahorses, they kind of look kind of crazy.
Everything looks crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if this helps it, man. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you are struggling to find a way to make your movie appear palatable, you have a problem. Like, it should not be a struggle. The trailer, even for shitty movies, is often the best part. When you watch a trailer for a shitty movie and you get conned into seeing it, that's the easy part.
You say get conned into seeing it, right? I don't know.
This should not be that hard.
The stuff with him and Manta on the rooftops looks pretty good, though. With them busting. You don't like, you don't think so?
That's fine, but like, you know, I just don't, I'm worried.
I'm worried too. But I'm still going to go see it. Now,
well, yeah.
The one thing that the suit look at the end looks hardcore, but it looks funny. I don't know. I don't know if I like it or not.
Because it's all like weird CG shit.
Yeah, I don't know if because it's like the suit from the comic book, you know, with the orange and shit. But I don't know if I like it or not, Tiff. I don't know.
Practical effects will save your life. Sometimes they might cost even more than CG stuff.
It
looks better because it's based in reality. It might be a tiny ship that's flying through space on a string, but it's a real tiny ship.
I would agree. I'm really interested to see these underwater effects on the big screen, because I got a feeling it might have a different effect on the big screen. I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It looks like this might be cool in 3D, too, if it's shot as a 3D movie. It should have been with all this shit. I don't know.
Yeah, with the flying and the falling and the whatever.
Yeah.
But can we talk about her shoes?
I didn't see her shoes.
I did, because she's climbing through the desert, and she's got high-heeled boots on.
Oh, yeah, you know.
And now here's the thing. Everyone was so bent out of shape about the Jurassic World stuff where she's wearing high-heeled shoes. And I will go to my grave. This will be the hill that I fucking die on. When I say people should not have complained about those shoes, because when her day started, when she put those fucking shoes on, it was a normal business day.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She was wearing work attire.
Yeah.
And I am not going to run through the jungle bare fucking foot.
You got damn right.
So yeah, I'm going to wear my stupid high heels.
Yeah, I got to agree with you.
This movie, she knew she was going to the fucking desert.
Yeah,
but she knew. Why are you wearing those fucking shoes?
Because you know what? She's an Olympian, and they are stronger than us, so her legs ain't gonna hurt at all. Shit.
What does it matter? It's like she's sliding around in the sand. Like, just like put some flat booted shoes on.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at it again. I don't know, Tiff. I don't know.
It's worrisome. That's all I'll say. It's a little worrisome.
Did they show this much of Wonder Woman?
No.
No. They stole these scenes from the guy busting through the doors, right from Valerian. You know, when you remember that when he started running through the.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably one of the only cool thing about that damn movie.
That movie sucked. Cheeks.
Oh boy, I don't know, y'all. We are going to see it, y'all, and I'm actually really looking forward to it. I'm very worried about it, though.
I just feel like this trailer is what they give us after they've had time to consider what was wrong with the other trailers, and this trailer isn't exactly anything to write home about.
I don't know why you would give us so much, you know? It's a lot.
Oh well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're gonna see what happens. I hope it's good. DC. Now her hair doesn't look so bad when it's all wet and stuff. Look kind of sexy, you know. But I don't know, man. I don't know. I keep looking. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm distracted because I'm looking at the
graphic. You're sad because you want to see something here.
I
want
to see it.
You're
good.
Looking for a grain of hope.
Yes, I'm an Aquaman fan. Especially Geoff Johns is involved in this, and he's the one that actually wrote the sweet Aquaman story in the comics and stuff, and you know, had reimagined Aquaman to be the cool self that he is today. And so, damn it, I don't know about that orange suit. With the big gloves. I don't know. Let me stop. Let's move it on. I'm so distracted on the air. You know? Totally distracted. Okay, so what do we got next, Steph? What are we talking about?
Trailer for Mortal Engines.
Mortal Engines.
It's the new
Raise your hand.
Jackson.
I was just about to say, raise your hand if y'all heard about this before, because I didn't. So
is it a book? I kind of feel like maybe it's a book.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a book. And if I didn't see anybody of color in this trailer, I was going to be done with Peter Jackson. But then I saw some brothers running around. I said, okay. I said, man, I'm seeing just too many white people, dude. You know, Lord of the Rings. I ain't seen none. No brothers. And then Lord of the Rings. Now, come on.
Yeah. Yep.
But I love Hugo Weaving, man. You just put him and his funny looking self in any movie talking, and you got me, you know?
It's true, you do love
him. I do love Hugo Weaving. Mr. Anderson! Anyway, so, Tiff, I can't tell if I like this or not.
Agreed. I am confused by it. Not about what's happening. The story is, although there's a lot of like happening in the background that may be confusing, what is happening in the story per se is understandable.
Hey, look, you know what? It's a steampunky,
exactly,
apocalyptic. It's all over, but we coming back. But all kind of shit is going wrong. Movie. I mean, they got these cities that's mobile. They're going mobile, and I don't know what the hell is going on. Now, I don't. She's hollering out of the window, and with all that steam and smoke and noise, I'm like, they couldn't hear you. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, so far, that's the only actor that bothers me. Everybody else seems okay.
I like them. I like that actor.
You like the Asian
actor?
I don't. I'm looking like they just seem But
they are the coolest part of the movie.
Oh, you just like that goofy hair, dude. Get out of here.
Well, okay. Let me say something about this trailer.
Gotcha.
That really bothers me.
Gotcha.
If I hate when someone has suffered a facial scar, I find it very bad when they've suffered a facial scar and it doesn't impair their good looks in any way.
Oh, I'm still hot with a scar.
Right. Where it's like, and like the thing is that I'm not saying that people who have had facial trauma would be unattractive. I'm just saying, like, if I were somebody who's suffered facial trauma, I'd be pretty pissed every time I looked at somebody on screen where it's like, oh, they still have their eyeball. Or, you know what I mean? Like, shit like that, where it's like, you know,
gotcha.
When you get injured, you don't just like, oh, it's just my cheek.
Right. Now, you're right. Just a little right there. Don't mind that. But this comes out in December.
Yeah. But this is the third trailer, so this is the first time we've talked about it.
Yeah, it's the first time we talked about his third trailer. I don't know if this is going to get big or not. It looks like it's enough here that I'm interested to go check it out, though, Tiff.
Right. If I was not busy on a Sunday and I'd go see a matinee or something like that, or if you make me watch it. But I'm not running. But here's the thing. I would like to say something about this movie.
Go ahead.
They say, the Asian actor says to them, hey, she's special.
It's always somebody special with some gift, right?
Right. Now, here's the thing. They don't tell us why she's special. I think they want it to be a surprise. However, I want to say something. The fact that this movie is called Mortal Engines doesn't that not mean that she's some kind of fucking battery or some shit?
Oh, maybe. 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 This, you know what this reminds me of?
Their power towns.
This reminds me of the Golden Compass in a way.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It does seem very Golden Compass-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't even think she's that attractive.
Right. You know, that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying, but the scar does not take away.
Hey, I think Hugo Weaving looks pretty attractive with that beard and long hair, man. Check him out.
I couldn't even tell it was him at first until you said something, good. And I was like, that's why I know him.
Yeah, it looks good on him, man. Check him out.
Kind of ageless, because, he looks old, kind of grizzled in this, but he doesn't, I wouldn't say, that man's old.
I'm not so sure about these two main actors, the guy and the girl. It kind of looks CW-ish teeny movie. Yeah.
Well,
you know.
Beyond that, they're a little blah.
They are. We'll see. But we're not going to see no more. If you want more trailers, you got to go look at the first two.
We could be totally off base, but I'm just saying, for me, this looks Peter Jackson-y, and I'm just tired of watching Peter Jackson movies. I know that makes me, put me out of my nerd. I'm, banished from the kingdom, but it's just starting to feel the same.
With Pete, the big epic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna say that because I don't mind. I haven't seen nothing. Well, I haven't seen nothing. I mean, I only seen four movies of his. No, I did see five movies of his because I forgot that The Frighteners was a Peter Jackson film.
Oh yeah, but you didn't see any of the three Hobbit movies.
I saw all three of them, so that's six. Yes, I saw.
And then you saw the three original ones.
Yes, I did, and I saw The Frighteners.
That's six, and then you saw Frighteners. So that's seven.
Yes, that might be about it.
You've seen all of them.
Peter Jackson. But I get what you're saying. So, wrapping it up, man, we got our add-on breaking news. Breaking news, everyone. The Boys. Boys came to us. We posted that on Facebook. Go over there and take a look at that trailer. Tiffobot.
Yes.
What do you think?
Okay, so this is a very simple introductory trailer. It's only about a minute and 10 seconds or something like that. And I absolutely adore... I love a good commercial, a fake commercial.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
And that's the style of this. But I like that, there's... You can sense that something's not right.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah. I mean, and it looks expensive. And ladies and gentlemen, reintroducing the lovely Elizabeth Shue. Damn, she fine. She's still fine. She is still fine. Damn, she fine. Damn, she look good. But go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking, you can... I love... My version of storytelling that is my favorite is when they don't have to tell me, hey, something's not right here.
Yeah.
You just get that feeling because of the way things are shot, the way that people are acting. It's a really... In my opinion, that's really good.
Okay, so that's not Anthony Mackie. I got a better look at him. But, these are supposed to be corporate superheroes. Like, the superhero became big, but they became total assholes and really wasn't helping the people or something like that. And
yeah.
Then the street level people decided to get involved some kind of way. I don't remember. We went through a whole thing the last time on the show, and I don't remember. But I remember that the real superheroes are the fake ones.
Right.
And then these street level people are supposed to be getting involved in the act, but not to... I think it's against them because they're really, I think the organized superheroes become criminal or something like that. Something like that. What do you remember?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm, something like
that. I don't, I never read it. It's more of a Smooth thing, but.
Yeah, Smooth was deep in there. hey, I'm looking at the poster. One of the guys is invisible. He got no head.
But yeah, I think that's something like that. So I like it already. I'm sold.
Available on Prime Video, Amazon, and this comes out. I wonder when. Because that's the first.
I didn't see that on the first trailer.
Right. This is the very first trailer. So they didn't say. And it was. It's not a very long trailer, but it was very effective. Great trailer making in this one. Like it. Love it. So I'm looking forward to this one. And I have Amazon Prime Video, so I can watch that. So I think that's going to do it, Tiff. Social media time. Can you rock it and sock it?
Absolutely. For everything Fans on Patrol, go to fansonpatrol.com. That's our main hub where you can find our shows, see show art that Montego's done, past events, pictures, stuff like that. You can reach us at fans@fansonpatrol.com. That's a direct email to us. Please send us your comments, concerns, suggestions for shows. We'd love to hear. But if you'd like to reach us on our social media, we're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at fansonpatrol. And as always, you can listen to us on Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and also Podknife and Podcast Mafia.
NerdPodcastMafia.com.
My brain is melting.
So
please listen and give us a review on any of your favorite listening platforms. We really appreciate it. That helps us out a lot. And we'll give you a shout out on the air if we see it.
Shout out to Sean Blue Man. Shout out to Sean Blue Man. Also, shout out to Kay Lorenzo, Wade. Shout out to you, good sir, super fan Kay Lorenzo, super fan Darshan, super fan. Shout out to you, sir. So, what do we got next? It's break time, so we're gonna take a break, and we're gonna be right back. What are you doing? We'll let you know when we get back. We'll be right back. All right, man, we are back, and it's time for What You're Watching. Never heard the show before. What You're Watching is just a time when we talk about things that we're watching on normal television. We even talk about movies that's not in the theaters, that if you just happen to, you know, one of us just wanted to get into anime, it doesn't matter, whatever it is. So, Tiff, what you been watching?
So, Hulu has an original series called Castle Rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a Stephen King-based show where it's like a conglomeration of a bunch of stuff, I think, of his different stuff. So, like, it happens in this place called Castle Rock. Shawshank Prison is there.
Interesting.
But, like, it's not in the same... It's Shawshank Prison is a bad place. It's scary.
Man, it was a bad place in the damn movie.
It's a bad place in the movie, but, like, it's not, like... There's no other forces, not ghosts and stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
they are. So, this is more like... There's a guy who's been trapped in the prison, in a closed wing of the prison, and the warden thinks he's the devil. And it's about how, is he the devil? Everywhere he goes, bad things happen. So a lot of people are ending up dead in Castle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a scary show. Very interesting. We had a good time watching it. The ending's a little disappointing, but
isn't it always?
It's always a little disappointing, but it was interesting. It was good.
Oh, man.
Scary.
And this is on Hulu. You said
I've been seeing
that. Well, Stephen King has been, you know, I guess before they released it, he was all over the internet, you know, in Castle Rock, and so it seems like something to be pretty interesting, man. You know,
and they've brought some of the actors as a little treat. Some of the actors who are in the show play in other Stephen King movies. So Sissy Spacek's in it.
Like, are they playing the same characters or just...
They are not.
They just happen to... Ta-da!
Yeah, and so, like, and then the kid who plays the person who might be the devil, we don't know, is the guy who plays Pennywise in the new movies.
Oh, I forgot that guy's name. Yeah. He was in that. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Huh. Interesting. So you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's scary if you're like interested in like a scary, like,
well, it's all about being scary this month, Tiff.
Yeah, so I'd tell you to check it out. It's worth a watch, I think.
Okay, well, I did something dumb. Well, I didn't actually do nothing dumb, but I haven't been watching anything scary, and I'm forgetting that it's scary month time and stuff. And so, but what I did have been watching is something that I talked about a couple of weeks ago. We were going to do a whole segment on Iron Fist. But, man, you know, it's Halloween time. We don't got time for the fist, you know. So I've been watching Iron Fist. I finished the whole thing in like a day. And I never do that. I don't know how the hell I did that. But season two was much better than season one. I loved everything about it until the last show.
Oh, no.
And it was actually the last 10 minutes. I said, what? Why y'all? Damn. Come on. The last little bit bugged me. Maybe the last half an hour. But the Kung Fu action. It was a lot of action. And the great actresses and actors, man. You know, what's that? Jessica Henwick. She plays Colleen Wing. She was great, man. You know, the brother and sister was back. They were great. Ward and what's her name? Joy Meacham. They were back. Anybody who wasn't dead was back. And a whole bunch of Misty Knight was in this one, man. So that was good. I really think this was way better than season one. I recommend it, especially if you're into this stuff. Didn't really care for the bad guy, Tabo, whatever his name was. I think that was his name. Tabo from the first one. Davos was his name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Anyway. Anyway, it was still good, man. I enjoyed it. And the story was way better. But again, right at the end, I was like, why would y'all? Anyway. Your boy, he did a really good job, Finn Jones. And the story went in a much better way. I did question some of the motives of some of the things that was happening. I was like, well, damn, well, how you gonna be that mad? Some of the stuff was kind of overplayed, and I was kind of like, y'all kind of stretching it on this one, because they had some people on the show who was very upset with other characters, and it was like, wasn't that damn big of a deal, you know? And what did he do to you? You know what I'm saying? It was right. some problems, but it wasn't a lot of big problems. And the whole thing took place in Chinatown in New York, and that was cool. It gave a great atmosphere. A lot of real sets, you know. Most of the sets were real and stuff. And so, you know, they spent money on it, and I think they did a good job, man. You know, it was maybe two shows that kind of drag, but we talking about Netflix shows. It's always about 2 to 3 shows that drag like a fat rat.
Just cut them.
Yeah, they're never going to do that, Tifflebot. You know, never, ever, ever. You know, but it was about two shows that was like, yeesh. You know, but again, these things are meant to watch, to binge, you know, not sure. to hit them one at a time. And so I enjoyed it, man. I recommend into Kung Fu action. It's a good one for you. If you're into Iron Fist, they did. It was much more Iron Fisty to me, this one. So check it out, man. Check it out. That's all I got on what you're watching for the day. I also, just to sneak it in, been watching some old James Bond films. It's so much fun. Dr. No with Russia from Love. Goldfinger. And Thunderball, which is not a good movie. Anyway, Thunderball kind of sucks, y'all. But anyway, that's all I got for what you're watching. And that's how I think we're done. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with our comic of the week. And we are not following this one on the series. And we'll tell you why. So we'll be right back. That's terrible. We'll be right back. Something. All right, man, we're back. The Superior Octopus Marvel number one. And who is the creative team in this thing? What's this? Christos Cage? Yep, the writer. Mark Hawthorne, penciler? Yes, indeed. And the inkers are Wade Von Gruber. That almost sounds like Hans Von Gruber, right? You don't get it?
Die Hard. Oh, yeah. No, I did. I'm looking at it. It's hard to read these names because of the font they chose.
Did you hear how I was struggling? Because I had to hold it up to my face like I was blind. It was totally small. I'm like, God, what is that? So there we go, man. So we're looking for another book to follow, right?
Yep.
And so I said, hey, The Superior Octopus. Now, The Superior Spider-Man, we read a few of those. That was a fantastic story. If you really like Spider-Man, The Superior Spider-Man run, it lasted for about 13 books. It's excellent. Go get it on trade. It was really, really good. What happens is Dr. Octopus is dying. He figures out some kind of way to transfer his consciousness into Spider-Man's body and takes over being Peter Parker and Spider-Man, and he's going to be an evil villain. Mwah! But for some reason, the sense of you know, with great power comes greater responsibility was instilled in Dr. Octopus because he experienced all of Peter's memory. And so he became a good guy. He was still a bad guy because, like, he was still doing, like, super villain monologues. But he was doing the right thing. He fell in love and complicated Peter's life and, you know, loved his Aunt May. And it was just, you know, it was a really good story because he was really an asshole, you know. He was a super asshole, but but, you know, he was, you know, compelled to do the right thing because of, you know, Peter Parker and stuff. So this is the same Superior Spider-Man that came out of that awful Hydra story they did about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I believe that this, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe this Doc Ock came from the Spider-Verse, you know, from a different universe Spider-Man. So, because that Doc Ock was dead or something like that. I could be wrong about that part. Nerds, check me. Let me know. So
yeah, let us know.
In this book, it starts off, and I just want to caution. You know, we've read some really well-written comic books in the last few weeks, man. Like Batman the White Knight, and they're making a number two. That was really well written, even, you know, dialogue and stuff like that. Kick-Ass was excellent. What did we just even in the Avengers, the dialogue was really good. And then you get to this, and it almost seems like back in the 80s where goofy speeches is going on left and right. So it starts off, man, and you got this group of supervillains, you know, the low-level ones. I forgot the name of the group, but they're terrorizing a bus. And for some reason, the bus that they're attacking in San Francisco is supposed to be full of rich people, but it's a
why would public ride a bus?
Transportation, right? So they like, give us your cell phones and give us your clothes. The Brothers Grimm is there, and this, I can't remember. Do you remember the name of this group, Tifflebot?
I don't. Like, it was very happened passing. You know what I mean?
Right, but you
oops,
know.
Sorry, I dropped my phone.
No, it's all good. So you know, they're like making speeches. I'm gonna take your cell phones and your
it's a lot.
Yeah, I'm gonna take your watches and give me your expensive clothes. These are,
why would they take their fucking clothes?
I know.
Is that person's evil power that just she can take people's clothes off?
No, I don't know what the hell.
Are you sure? Because later when Spider-Man shows up, she tries to take his suit off.
Well, she has sonic power, so I think she was just, you know, she uses the blast people, you know, with sound waves and stuff, you know? So,
okay.
I'm just saying, you know, the Night Shift, that's the name of this damn group. So they're attacking people, and it's like super duper old school comic booky. Like,
okay, I do enjoy the Brothers Grimm when they're like, I'm getting more stuff and I'm getting better stuff.
I'm getting better. Yeah, it was still
crazy. That was my favorite part of the whole comic book.
Well, that's bad. So, so, I mean, the dialogue is really bad at all. The art is good though.
Yeah. The art is very good. I was gonna say that. I think part of the problem with this book is Dr. Octopus has a very, I guess, unique way of speaking.
Oh, he looks down on people. He's an asshole, man. He's like,
right,
you fools. you will do what I say, you idiots, or I will, you know, massacre you. Yeah, he's a supervillain at heart.
They talk so much.
Lot of dialogue, and I'm glad you brought that up because I noticed that myself. I was like, wow, you know, I get it, y'all. Y'all really, really, really going hard with the, you know, this, because he's a supervillain, and what all they do is make speeches. So I think that's good that they actually, you know, stuck with that.
Yeah, but, sure.
However, you're right. He's not really saying nothing because even when he's just walking around by himself. So anyway, makes this long story short, he ends up saying, y'all work for me now, y'all henchmen, but you're going to do good. I'm a good guy. And he kind of looks like Doc Ock, but he's a clone because they had the new clone conspiracy. And he learned how to clone, so he was able to transfer the consciousness in a clone body. And he has an alter ego as his professor, and he ends up running into Anna Marie, his old love. But she doesn't recognize him because he doesn't look like Peter Parker no more. But he has Spider-Man powers, which y'all know I hate. I can't stay. Please just get rid of everybody with Spider-Man's powers. He's like the cheapest superhero in the world now because everybody has his powers. Anyway, he's in love with the woman, but he says, I'm not going to, you know, she knows Doc Ock to be a creep. And so he's just going to be her silent protector. And he's trying to work out a plan. And then he gets attacked. The Hydra people are back. So they brought in that Hydra story saying, we're back, we're going to take over. And then he starts fighting these people. It's really, really comic booky. But there's a pretty good fight with the Gorgon. And then there's something that happens, man, where somebody dies and they come back to life through a clone. I'm not going to spoil it if you want to keep following this. I might keep following this story only because I know the potential, but I'm not sure about this writer. I'm sorry. Sorry, dude.
To be honest, when I first started reading the book, it was in the very beginning, I was like, oh, it's going to be kind of fun, maybe just a fun romp. But then I just got dragged down and dragged down and dragged down. It could have been a lot shorter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could have, like, less dialogue, less is more.
Yeah.
Like here's the thing. I understood within the first three pages or four pages, even though I've never read the Spider-Man story in which, but I know I'm familiar with it, where Doc Ock becomes Spider-Man and whatever.
Right. I think we covered it on the show, I believe.
But within the first few pages, I know enough to know about it that you don't have to keep talking about it. They talk about it through the whole book.
Yeah, they do. And it's not smart dialogue either. It's like eighth grade dialogue, if you ask me. You know, it's no complicated words, no complicated twists. It was just like, it seemed so old. It seemed like a 1982 comic book to me, like the dialogue. And I was just like, we've been reading some complex stuff. Is this what the rest of the world is, you know, like? But I'm not so sure. I don't recommend this book.
I don't either. I think part of the problem is that what you might have noticed is that $4.99 price point. A $4.99 book, normally, I feel like they think they need to make it a little longer because of the price. But it's like, well, I would rather have you slim it down and charge me $3.99, do some editing.
Yes, do some damn editing. Exactly. Yeah. So, no recommend, y'all. No recommend. Correct. So, we will not be following this book. We're in search for another. So, I couldn't find nothing. So, anyway, that's going to do it for the comics. We're going to be right back when it's time for Slice, y'all. Everything I could say to joke with the name wouldn't be funny, so I'm going to leave it alone. We'll be right back. All right, man, we are back, and it's the second spooky movie that we're doing for this this month. So we're starting with 2018 Slice. Movie stars the lovely and beautiful Zazie Beetz with her fun ass. And let's see, Joe Keery with his fun ass. No, that's from that's the kid from Stranger Things with the same hairdo. Same hairdo.
Same hairdo, same hair.
Playing a different character. Hannibal was in this damn movie for 5 hot minutes.
Yeah, he's not the thing. And I was like, it said also star, like, okay, it said guest starring Hannibal Buress. And I was like, okay. And he's in it for like literally 30 seconds. And then it also says guest starring Paul Scheer. And he's in it. He's a star of the movie.
Right.
For a majority of the movie.
Yeah, he plays Jack, the pizzeria owner. And Chance the Rapper is in this movie. And didn't do such a bad job, I don't think.
Not so bad, but not so good. He's like 50-50.
Basically, they put him in there because he's beautiful. They brought in...
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. They brought in
some gorgeous... right.
He's very... He's also like a... The only thing I've ever heard about Chance the Rapper is that he's such a happy-go-lucky guy.
Well, he has my respect. Anybody that sit around and you know, donate $1 million for education and the shit he's been doing.
Yeah.
This cat is the real deal and has all of my damn respect. So that's a beautiful thing. Let me see. Who else was in this movie? A whole bunch of nobodies was in this movie.
Well, I think like a lot of people in this movie are more like known on the comedy circuit or like... they're less known, well-known actors, if that makes sense. So like Chris Parnell, for instance.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him in 1,000 years. So
he's a voice in Rick and Morty.
There we go. So means nothing to me.
But stuff like that. Like I think like if you watch this movie and you watch other certain kinds of movies, you'd see a lot of people.
No. You absolutely knew from the beginning that this damn thing was like one of those projects where everybody just invited their friends to play a part in it. Absolutely. So this movie is okay. So here's the synopsis. When a pizza delivery driver is murdered on the job, the city searches for someone to blame. Ghosts, drug dealers, a disgraced werewolf. That's it. And so I've never heard of this movie before. I will say that a lot of the cinematography I really dug.
Yes. Okay. Should we? The way this movie looks mm-hmm. is what I would say excellent.
Yes.
It has a great vibe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you're like, man, you're watching and you're like, this is like my heart wants to love you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When it came on with the very first scene where we're going to hit them spoilers. It first came on and the guy is sitting there on the scooter and stuff and they're coming in behind and with the billboard next to him.
Yes.
I said, wow, what a beautiful scene. That looks like something that somebody just saw in a comic book and said, let me duplicate that scene. Probably the way it happened. But it was still excellent, you know, very yes. excellent.
I love the animated opening.
Oh, yeah.
It gives it a nice... It's got, and I said, I got so worried at the beginning. I said, Mike, what if that's the best part of the movie? Is this animated, like, 80s style?
You might have been right about that, Tiffle Bob, but let's move on.
full disclosure about the choice of this movie.
Okay.
Every year we've picked 31 movies, mm-hmm. one for every day.
Mm-hmm.
But we found that, like, Mike works nights, I work days. So it's like, it's hard for us to find time to watch a bunch of movies. So we decided this year that we'd have 10 movies we picked.
Yeah,
And then if we had more time, we'd add more.
Yeah, 2 a week, 3 a week, something like that. I agree. So, you know.
Well, this movie I looked up, it was listed as one of the, like I always say, oh, what's like the, because I try to do like some classics that I haven't seen and then some new ones that people recommend. And this was on the list of recommended movies.
Recommended. Now, yes. I read some of the reviews when I was reading this thing, and people was like, worst shit I ever seen in my life. You know, I was like, uh-oh. Somebody said, I wanted to slice my own throat when I watched this movie. I said, damn, what am I getting into here? I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, shit, that's funny.
That was right on Rotten Tomatoes, I believe. So, I know. So, the small town of Kingfisher, man. Now, you got to wrap your head around this concept because in this movie they have ghosts who I thought was zombies, but you die and then you turn into a ghost, but you become the population. They had like a strip mall where a bunch of people, they had some tragedy, 40,000 people, where they put it on top of a graveyard and it supposedly had disturbed the dead, and so ghosts were a real working members of the society, and so was all these other mythical creatures, you know. They didn't say vampires, but they just said werewolves.
Yeah, and witches.
And witches, yeah. And so, you know, it's very subtle in the movie. It's not like it's in your face.
It's just accepted. That's the thing about this movie. Like Montego said, nobody thinks it's weird. They're not debating about whether ghosts exist. It's just accepted reality is that they have this ghost town where they've kind of segregated their ghosts and they have the living people.
Right. So this pizza delivery dude, obvious junkie, who would give a rat's ass that he got murdered, but he got murdered and the whole town is turned upside down. Like, this stuff never happens here. Never. And so the mayor is, you know, talking about it. He works for this pizzeria and they're having press conferences. And then you have protesters out there trying to talk about tear down a strip mall because how it's disturbing the dead should be able to rest and stuff. And it's just crazy, man. The guy gets killed, and, you know, then after that, quickly introduces Zazie Beetz, who's looking pretty terrible in this movie, man.
I like her style in this movie.
Ooh, she just looked like she needed to take a bath. That's all. It's like, oh, goodness gracious. Please take a bath, Zazie. I know you're fine. You're too fine to look like this. And so, like you said, you got that real quick Hannibal scene.
I mean, you people, it is 30 seconds tops.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't even worth mentioning.
It was enough for you to be like, is that Hannibal for us?
Right. So, right, because he was looking like such an old man and stuff. And it's, you know, they're having this press conference and at the rally, you introduced to our little cub reporter. And I forgot her damn name and her cameraman.
Sadie Sheridan
and the cameraman, our boy from Stranger Things. He's running around.
Who also
late.
Was in this movie for 2 seconds.
Well, yeah,
he's hardly in the movie.
He's not in here much. We had two scenes. We keep coming up to the press conferences or the events late.
He's not
stuff.
Doing his job. Yeah.
Right. And so Zazie Beetz, that couldn't imagine that fine woman being with that dirtbag of a pizza delivery dude, but that's her old ex-dude or
her dude. Ex-boyfriend.
So she springs into action, right? And she's going to find out why. She goes back to the pizzeria, and they're convincing her, the people there, they like, who work there, like, hey, can we get a day off because the dude died?
And you know, they don't give a shit. They just don't want to work.
Right. They don't want to work. And then the cops is there. And the one cop, I think he really overdid the asshole routine, man. God.
I mean, I do too. But and sometimes, okay, sometimes when I'm watching a movie,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if, like, that man is making a choice in overplaying this because he's like, this is how they would do it in these older movies. You know what I mean? Like, or is he just a bad actor?
I think he made a choice to overdo it, but his choice...
the bad one.
Well, it's like, okay, I'm gonna overdo it, and then you get to a point, I'm gonna keep doing it, you know what I'm saying, instead of saying maybe I should back off a little bit because it should be something redeeming about this character, you know, something, you know. Yeah. He's so abusive, and then because he's such an asshole, you start liking the partner more than him, you know, who's playing the bumbling idiot too hard. But then he gets a little better. I like the scene where he like tells him off, but then gives him his coffee, knocks the coffee out of his hand and shit. He's like, I'm tired of this shit, you know. And then he gives him his coffee, but you know, he gained a little respect, you know, from that one, because this guy just keeps calling him, you know, all kind of names and shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. I'm like, damn, dude, just talking to you. And he's actually cracking the case on a low because he found the drugs in the car.
The drugs, yeah,
right. And so the cops is, you know, investigating this thing, and I like the ghost that works in the pizzeria.
I love him. He's probably one of the best parts.
Because he has all that wisdom and all that intensity, and it's and you better watch yourself. And then, you know, nobody gives a shit what he just said.
I really liked the druggie, not the druggie, the other kind of like maybe pothead that gets the scooter. Who gets killed second.
I wanted to see his older girlfriend because I was like, are they going to show this? Because he keeps saying my older girlfriend, and I'm like, what is she, like 60 or something, you know?
Well, I think we're supposed to believe that these are like teenagers or like early 20-year-olds, but they're clearly in their 30s.
Oh, shit. Pushing 40.
So I really liked his character. He just didn't even, after he was dead, didn't even care that he was dead. I just...
Yeah, well, shit, you die, you get right. But the ghosts do look bad, though, don't they? They just look like zombies, is what they look
like. They do look like zombies. And I wonder if that was because they didn't have enough budget to make them look like real ghosts.
Yeah, like
see through.
They should at least made them transparent. But see, the Cub reporter, no, not the Cub reporter, but the photographer. You know, he said his mama was a ghost and he hated ghosts. And she was like, may I remind you that your mom's a ghost? And I said, how's the mom? Or maybe the mom died.
She died afterwards.
Oh, I got you. Because I was like, but ghosts can have babies, you know?
They also eat food. Because all the murders happened at house out ordering pizza.
Getting pizza. So this movie, see y'all hear the shit we saying? If you don't never seen this movie, you like, what in the hell are they talking about? Kind of watching this movie is like, what the hell am I watching?
I want to give this movie a fair shake.
Okay.
Because it's entertaining to watch. It's not like super bad. It's not bad while you're watching it. It's not like, it's just not as good as it could be.
If you're tuning in to watch a bad movie, this will probably entertain you. That's what I got to say. Because it's a bad movie, but it has some redeeming qualities to it. It's not much here, Tivobot, but let's continue.
This movie is also very short. It's an hour and 20 minutes.
It felt like 9 hours for me.
Which is crazy because at a certain point in the movie... So, like, the thing about this movie is we could go into, like, details about plot by plot points, but, like, it's pretty linear. Like, not much really happens in the movie.
Well...
If I'm being honest. But there's a point in the movie, and we'll talk about it more, I'm just saying, but there's a point in the movie... where they say, where Zazie Beetz gets killed and she becomes a vigilante ghost. She starts killing people, but they don't show her killing all those people. Where what they should have done is backed a lot of the exposition up about this particular group that's debating ghosts and made it more of a hack and slash revenge movie.
Yeah.
Something. Okay. Yeah. So... what happens here, I guess, where we left off, is that Scooter also gets murdered, and then eventually, so they start investigating more of these murders that they feel like is isolating delivery people particularly.
Yes.
And then when they go to, my favorite scenes is when they go to that place where all the delivery people hang out.
Oh, the little drug place where you get the... That wasn't a bad scene. A little dope dealer and stuff. Who was that guy? That guy looked familiar to me. But
have you ever watched? I bet you haven't, because it's on, like, it's probably not up your alley. But like the show Awkward on Insecure on HBO.
Uh-uh.
Oh, he's in that.
That's that black lady, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I've seen
the
thing.
I recognized him too, and I was like, I recognize this guy.
That's
where I recognize him from.
Yeah, he looked pretty silly with the cowboy hat, and he was supposed to be a hard hitter. But, okay, this is another thing that gets me. But so, they're mourning this pizza guy, right? But this dope dealer has the reputation of being, if you cross him, he kills you. So, people are dying, right, in this town. But
yeah.
This one is made such a big deal because this group, you know, and then this group of protesters, that's a whole nother situation. Where this lady, you know, they're just pushing this you know, fictitious agenda about, you know, saving this strip, tearing down this strip mall. And they just keep showing up. And in the beginning, they're like nuisances, you know. You don't really understand, you know, their character. So then all of a sudden they're talking about this werewolf. You know, they keep showing this picture of Chance the Rapper, you know, what do you call it, like a wanted poster, because he was known for murders back in the day. They worked for Yum Yum Chinese shop, right? And his whole speech about, all I want to do is just deliver quality Chinese food. I'm like, god damn this movie. So you get right, because he was there when Scooter got killed, you know, and so
yes,
they were saying that he was connected to this one. So the police were looking for him, and then they were, you know, chasing him at one point, and the guy was like, he's a werewolf. And then they did some pretty sweet parkour scenes showing that he had some agility and stuff like that. And
I kind of thought that the partner was going to end up being also a werewolf.
What got me is that the partner got tangled up in that car, and that guy with the tractor, he was just gonna smash them for what reason?
There's some plot holes in this movie.
Right. I was like, why would he saw them and started chasing them with a car, and then he was just gonna smash the cop, you know? And I was like, does he work for somebody? And they never came back to it, you know? So then they questioned the werewolf, and he's so pretty. He's such a handsome man. And I'm like, oh, wow, he really speaks well, and he's really handsome. I said, oh, they're going for a pretty boy. And they put him on a scooter, which killed me, because I figured they would have put him on a motorcycle or something, you know, because he had, sure, had the pretty motorcycle jacket. But he's not a terrible actor, I don't think. I mean,
No, I think he's better than some, worse than others.
Right. So one of the pizza delivery people, isn't a girl, she's a little traitor, right?
The little redhead, yeah.
Yeah, she's working for the covenant.
She's a witch.
Right. So it turns out that the witch, the protesters are actually a witch's coven, and they're pretty powerful.
And they want to make a legion of ghosts.
Right. Like enslave them or something like that. And so,
yeah, with like hell power. I some of that stuff I don't really, I'm like, okay.
Oh, because the pizzeria is actually in the basement is a gateway to hell. And they find that out, and I liked when the owner's like, I have a gateway to hell. The pizza owner was pretty funny, man. You know,
Paul Scheer is a funny guy.
He had me cracking up in some of these scenes. And so, you know, your girl Zazie Beetz get murdered. I wasn't expecting that one. She was like, oh shit, I'm a ghost. And he's like, boyfriend, like, yeah, you're a ghost.
I think Zazie Beetz is definitely the best actress in this movie.
Oh, she's a fine actress.
She's great, yeah. And she's like, oh shit, when she gets stabbed. She's like, am I dead? And he's like, I think you're dead.
Yeah, that was, I say that was clearly the redhead that stabbed her up back there, you know, from the pizza shop. So they got no employees left, you know. she's running around and trying to find the murderer. And it gets me when they go in and they turn on the mayor, you know. Mayor, he's corrupt. He was on the take, right? They were sliding him money and stuff. But he didn't know to the extent that what this coven was doing. So moving to the end here, you know.
A lot starts, okay, this is probably the most disappointing part of this movie, is that they cram so much of like what you would consider the action in this movie in the end. They just cram it full.
Now, here's my problem.
Yes.
We get to the final scenes of this thing and all kind of stuff. The witches are clearly creatures at this point with the glowing eyes and all this stuff. And, you know, we have all these things happening. And Tiff, I fell asleep 3 times. I had to get up. I had to get up and start the movie over and over and over. I was like, what's happening?
It's not an endorsement for it by any means.
No, I really believe that the end kind of ruined the movie because it did have a certain charm, Tiff. I ain't playing with you. It had a certain charm to a certain point. So, yeah. So wrap it up here for us, Tiff.
So at the end of the movie, they go there. They have this big fight in which the werewolf, like, part of the problem was that the werewolf didn't want to be a bad person, didn't want to kill anyone.
I just want to serve good quality Chinese food. That's all I want to do.
Chinese food. But, like, she's like, well, I need help to defeat these witches.
Right.
And so you think that he's not going to come, obviously. But then he does come, and he helps them to defeat all these witches.
Yeah, because it's a bunch of them. It's not just a...
Just like you said... The detective comes and shoots one of the witches.
Right.
The bad detective. So that's how it ends. It closes the portal. Everything's fine. And then the last part of the movie is a fake commercial for the new pizza place.
Now, I would have liked to see the dope dealer come back in the end somewhere to do something. Because he was kind of entertaining. He was kind of entertaining to me, man, with that cowboy hat and stuff. You know?
Yeah.
But no dice. And I thought they were going to get back to that guy that was chasing them with that car and tractor trailer and stuff. But that didn't happen either. Couple holes here. I do not recommend this movie, Tiff.
I don't either. Here's the thing. I have a certain taste, obviously. But some people I think would maybe really like this movie.
I bet you Smooth would love this movie. I guarantee you Smooth would love this movie. I can hear him now cracking up over some of the goofy stuff, man.
I'm just saying, like, give it a try if you're into, like, not, like, if you're into, like, really kitschy, like, 80s horror films that, like, are bad, this is, like, a nice homage to them.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. So, like, if you're into that, go for it. But if you don't like, I am of the enjoyment factor when something is bad unintentionally. Like, somebody was trying really hard to make something good and it just turns out bad. I enjoy that. I don't enjoy when people intentionally make something kind of shitty. And that is kind of what this is. So unless you're into that, I wouldn't watch it.
I agree. Somebody, they intentionally did it. I agree with you 100%. Very well shot, though.
It's got a beautiful ambiance.
I cannot cannot give credit where credit is due. Most of the scenes, most of them, even the dialogue scenes, really well shot. You know, the zooms, everything. It's beautiful. However, not for me. And it was not scary or spooky or anything.
Nope. I mean, it has a Halloween vibe because it has Halloween type stuff. But, like, this is more like a summer movie almost.
Why was the cops driving around in the hot rod?
I think some of the things, decisions in this movie, I feel were based solely on what they could get as far as money.
This is what they said. Y'all can have any car over there in the corner.
Right. I'll take this one, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I was like, that's a hot rod. Why do you? And it's not. And I don't mean a muscle car, y'all. I mean an old school 1940s, 1950s hot rod. You know. And I'm like, why? And they didn't even highlight it, like the Knight Rider, like, look how dope this car is. They never even gave you a really good shot at a car.
No, it just happened to be a car they had.
Exactly. So it was goofy stuff. So that's going to do it, y'all. That's movie number 2, Halloween. But, you know, we kind of jumped the gun last week and got a big start on Halloween. Next week, man, we're coming back. We're going to do another supposedly scary movie, Venom.
Venom.
We're going to go to the movies, we're going to check that out, and we'll come back and we're going to have fun. So go see it so you know, you can have fun with us and listen to it. So I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure as always.
And we'll see if we get our boy back here next week. If not, I'm calling whoever wanted to come on the show. If you're a podcaster and you know who you are, come on. Smooth will be back now. No, I'm back. So that's gonna do it, man. This was episode 209. Name of the show was Slice, and we will see you next week. And until then, we will be
on patrol.